Chapter 49. Bobby. When she was young, Bobby had a recurring dream of finding a door in her room that led to some new, exotic part of her quarters that her family had forgotten or else never known about. Those dreams had been eerie, but also beautiful, full of promise and wonder and threat. The gathering storm was exactly like being in one of those dreams. The architecture of the ship had all the same aesthetics and design as the Rocinante. The central lift, the size and spacing of the hallways and doors, even the shapes of the hand and footholds were familiar. Or, if not exactly familiar, at least related. Part of the same family. Laconian and Martian had the same cultural DNA, and as much as anything else, the ship proved it. But it was also strange. The decks didn't have seams or bolts. The foam and fabric on the bulkheads had the same uncanny, fleshy texture as the hull. The lights were different somehow, too. She didn't know if it was the spectrum or the brightness or the way that there seemed to be some kind of subtle motion in them, but everything felt a little bit like being underwater. Like the ship was a huge fish with the bioluminescent glow of the deepest seas. It was home, but wider, larger, and changed. They moved from hall to hall in strict formation, covering each other as they went. The rattle of PDCs was joined by something else she didn't recognize. Some Laconian version of torpedo fire was her best guess. The deck lurched and canted as the ship maneuvered around them, but the main drive never cut out, so down was always down. She'd expected the ship's defenses to meet them at the central lift that led to ops. It was the obvious choke point, and holding that space meant controlling movement between all the decks it passed through. If she'd been in charge, all the hatches would have been open, and a dozen rifles pointing down, ready to put holes through any head that popped out. Instead, there had been three Laconians with pistols retreating up it, and firing behind them, more to discourage Bobby and her people from following them than to actually injure anyone. They were holding up on the command deck. She wasn't sure whether that was a good thing or a bad one. "Amos," she said, and when he didn't answer, turned up her broadcast power. "Amos, check in."
"Little hairy down here, Babs," Amos replied. "Made it to what I'm pretty sure is supposed to be a machine shop. Fucked if I know what half the stuff is, though."
"Any contact with the enemy?"
"Yeah, we lost a couple."
The sound that interrupted them was like something metal being torn by brute strength. It took a fraction of a second to recognize it as high-rate weapons fire. Amos was shouting over it, not to her. She waited, tension knotting her gut. She wanted to know what was happening, but not badly enough to divide Amos's attention. He grunted once, and she was sure he'd been hit. Something loud happened, a grenade maybe, and the firing stopped.
"Still with me, big man?"
"Yeah," he said. "We just had a little thing there. Architecture's a little weird, and it looks like there's a bunch of stuff down here built out of, I don't know, crystals or bug shells. You remember those buildings on Illus? Like them."
The deck shifted hard to the right, and Bobby's head went a little swimmy from the Coriolis. She grabbed onto a handhold.
"I wasn't on Illus."
"Oh, right," Amos said. "Well, like them, anyway. But yeah, we're kind of stuck where we are unless we can make another hole. We're looking for something to cut through the bulkhead with. We'd like to get that done before they decide to rush us."
Alex's voice cut in. He wouldn't be able to hear them unless she turned up her broadcast power a lot more, but the Rosie's transmitters had more than power enough.
"Hey, y'all. The storm's breaking off our little dance out here.
It looks like she's trying to get back to port. Might be a good time to launch anyone that wants to get launched. You're getting short on time.
Saba responded.
Still waiting for the prison stragglers. Any ships ready, I'll get them gone, but keep that bastard office as long as you can, yeah?
I'm on it, Alex said.
Bobby ground her teeth. She wanted to break off. Head down to back up Amos and his squad. Bad tactics. She needed to stick to the plan. Amos was going to be all right. She had to believe that. The lift tube went up the length of the ship, all the way to the ops deck. No one was waiting up there that she could see. That didn't mean no one was waiting.
All right, she said to her team. This is going to be just the same. Two move forward while three cover, and then the forward pair cover while the three catch up. Only instead of going from door to door, we're going up from deck to deck. If we start drawing fire, we'll try to get the lift going up before us. But it's probably locked down, and I don't want to announce where we are.
The belters all gave their assent and took position. Bobby and a tall man went first, climbing the handholds like they were free climbing. She glanced over the top of the deck before she climbed up, but she would have been surprised to find an ambush there. She leaned against the wall, gun pointed up. It looked like the hatch to ops was closed. Leaving the rest open gave the defenders a great line of fire, but they weren't using it. Not yet. She gestured to the others and didn't take her eye off the enemy as they scrambled up beside her. The storm was bigger than the Rosie. There were eight more decks between her and ops. The last step was going to be tricky, but gravity cut out, and she grabbed for a handhold by reflex as the ship spun around her, sweeping her legs perpendicular to the deck. As suddenly as it had cut out, it came back. A hard burn, 4 or 5 G's slamming her down. The impact knocked the breath out of her, and then gravity cut out again. A moment of spin on the float, and another high G microburn. She and her team were braced now. The float and burn happened 3 more times. It seemed ready to keep going forever.
Amos?
Hey there, Babs.
Is this you? Did you break something?
Nope. Whatever they're doing, this here is the product of conscious choice.
I think...
A hard burn made her grit her teeth. Then the float.
I think they're trying to shake us around like bugs in a can.
Hard burn. And the float.
That's gonna make this inconvenient. They trying to slow us down?
Until they can get back to port.
Hard burn and float. Her mind shifted. Delaying and heading back to the docks made the most sense if the storm was undercrewed. It also explained why she wasn't catching heavier fire from the command deck. If the Laconians could get back to reinforcements, she wouldn't have a chance. And if she didn't, no one else would either. 2 more cycles of float, turn, and slammer into the deck failed to dislodge her from her place. When Amos spoke again, she could hear the effort in his voice.
That could be a problem. That's what I was thinking.
Another round of gunfire pressed its way through the radio.
Not sure I'm going to be able to stop that from happening.
All right, Bobby said. New orders. Don't die until I say so.
If I find a way to kill this bird,
then act like I said so, but don't stick your head out just to look for it.
You got a plan?
Amos asked.
That'd be generous, she said, but I've got something I'm going to do.
The ship kept doing its stuttering bounce like one of the first-generation exploration ships that exploded nuclear bombs as a propulsion system. Even for the crew that made it to crash couches, it was a miserable way to travel. She took a deep breath, felt the rhythm of it, and on the next float, pulled herself out to the lift shaft. 2 good handholds, 2 good footholds, and suddenly she weighed 5 times her usual. Her fingers and toes screamed in protest. Her back and shoulder flirted with cramping. The float came back, and the ship turned. But she was climbing up. Just 1 set of handholds before the weight came back. But she was closer. If she fell, it was a long way to the bottom. But no one was going to be shooting down at her during this, and they didn't think she could climb while this was going on. That was it as much as anything. With every round of release and spin and high G burn, she made her way higher, not looking back to see whether her team was with her. She needed all her focus for this. Sweat beaded on her forehead, and the suit's helmet fan kicked up to high so that her faceplate wouldn't fog up. She was burning through oxygen fast enough that a 3-hour supply would last her maybe 1. She thought about taking a break at one of the decks along the way and stripping off her helmet entirely, but if the Laconians decided to vent the ship after that, well, that would be unfortunate. Better to play it safe. Or as safe as free climbing with a full destroyer's depth of decks below her in radically uncertain gravity could be. Saba's voice came again when Bobby still had 3 more decks to go before she hit ops. Sensor arrays are down. We're launching everything. No more time to wait.
I'll try to keep you covered, Malaclips, Alex said. The storm is live and a threat. I can try knocking her torpedoes down, but treat her like she's got teeth.
Bien, Saba said. And I've a package on its way to you, Rocinante. Keep an eye open.
Alex swore under his breath. She didn't have time to guess why. Another moment of float. Another collapse into terrible weight. The temptation to go faster, to try for 2 handholds up instead of just 1, was a trap. It meant less time to get braced, and that was an invitation to fall. It hurt. It took forever. It was the right way. She couldn't get greedy. The pain in her hands was getting worse, but her feet almost seemed to be getting used to it. That, or they were going numb. She was over halfway up. 3.5 more decks and she'd be at the ops deck. At the closed plate that kept the lift locked in place. 2.5. 1 more. The float came again. She moved up. Her eyes were fixed on the seam where the lift plate would slide open. Where, if this was like the other Martian ships, she'd be in. It would make the most sense to take cover and fire down at the borders. At her. She waited for the next acceleration, but it didn't come. Only a gentle press as the ship maneuvered. That was bad.
The storm is on approach to the dock, Alex said, and his voice sounded like ashes. Anybody has a good idea? I'm listening.
Her arms and legs were trembling from the effort, and sweat stung her eyes. She risked looking down. Her team was following, but they were only about halfway up. This one was hers. Voices came from the ops deck, sharp, barked orders, a clattering, probably from a weapons locker. They knew there wouldn't be much time, but they were also thinking she had a lot more territory to cover than she did. The lift plate slid aside, and she reached in and took the blue-sleeved arm by the elbow and hauled the man attached to it through and down. He bounced against a couple walls before he caught himself, and by then her team had their guns on him. And Bobby was through the opening and onto the ops deck. 3 people in the most oddly designed crash couches she'd ever seen. Bobby raised her pistol, definitely undercrewed. A fair-haired man saw her first and yelped, "Commander Davenport!" An older man moved forward, older than the others anyway. He still looked like a puppy.
"Get us into the dock, whatever happens." I am Gunnery Sergeant Roberta Draper of the MMC, Bobby snapped. I will kill every one of you if anyone touches the controls.
Davenport lifted a defiant chin.
You have your orders.
Doesn't have to go like that, Bobby said. You know where that ends. Your people dead, mine too. Probably a lot of civilians if I have to ram this boat into the station to kill it. I said don't touch those controls.
The pilot flinched back, shot a look at Davenport. He stared hard at her, like he was looking at his death. Like he was trying to talk himself into being brave, and hadn't quite managed it yet. There was a chance there in the space between who he was and who he was trying to be. Killing these three wouldn't fix the situation in engineering, wouldn't save Amos. Behind her, her team was floating up onto the command deck. She wished they wouldn't. More pressure on the Laconians was only going to cement their position. When she spoke, she tried to make her voice calm and soothing. Here's the situation. All your people die, and all mine too, or all of us live. Now, you can decide whether this bunch of amateurs and assholes is worth a crew of Laconia's best.
Hey, one of her team said. She ignored him. You expect me to believe you won't steal the ship?
Davenport said.
Well, I wasn't planning to until just now, Bobby thought. But since you mention it...
I'm not talking about the ship. I'm talking about you and yours either put out an airlock with suits and bottles or else killed here.
I've seen the way you people work, he spat. If we put down arms, you'll kill us anyway. You have no honor.
Bite your fucking tongue, Bobby said. I'm Martian Marine Corps. If you live through this, you go ask your old-timers what that means. They'll tell you how lucky you are I didn't crack your ass the other way for just saying it. If I say you and yours are safe, then you're fucking safe.
Davenport said nothing, but there was something behind his defiance. She thought it might be hope. She opened a connection to Amos.
Hey, big man.
Hey, Babs, he said.
He sounded winded.
They got us into engineering. Give me another 5 minutes, I can light this bastard up. May take a bite out of the station when we blow, but I figure that's someone else's problem. How's it going up there?
Your team needs to stand down, she said.
No aggressive action toward the enemy. Confirm that. There was silence on the line.
That's not the plan the way I heard it, Amos said.
Amos, listen to me. Stand down. Don't blow the ship. And if anyone down there kills another Laconian, I will shoot them myself, including you. Understood?
Yep.
Stand by. If I need you to go back to Plan A, I'll know in about a minute.
Davenport looked from her to her team arrayed behind her. He scowled. Bobby felt her breath go shallow. She waited.
30 seconds, Mr. Davenport, she said.
You joined the wrong side, Gunny, Davenport said. You should have been one of ours.
25 minutes later, the surviving crew of the gathering storm were tethered together in the cargo airlock. Their arms were secured behind their backs, their ankles were tied together, and the maneuvering thrusters on their vac suits didn't have any canisters. Amos and one of his team went through checking their seals one last time and strapping emergency beacons to their knees. The Laconian commanding officer watched Bobby now with the intensity of someone planning his revenge. Amos knocked on Davenport's faceplate to get his attention.
Can you breathe in there? Getting good air? Because if you're not, this is the time to say something.
He nodded once, a perfect physical representation of resentment. Outside the storm, ships were fleeing through the gates following the schedule Naomi had built. By and large, they were going to the smaller colonies where there was less traffic parked waiting for the gates to reopen. But some were going to the well-established places like Baragaon Complex, and trusting to their ability to evade any traffic monitoring on the other side to get them to safety. There was still a little more than an hour before the last of them was slated to go, and then the storm following up at last. If things went right, Medina's sensors would be deep in their routing seizures for at least 4 hours, and the prisoners had enough air for 10. A 6-hour window for pickup seemed like more than enough. Amos gave her the thumbs up, and Bobby nodded him on. He undid the tether from the airlock deck, pushed off, and floated through to pull himself to a stop beside her. Bobby cycled the lock, and when the outer door opened to the darker-than-space of the slow zone, she touched her radio. "Okay," she said. "Let's see if the controls work the way they said." "Copy that, Boss Mung," her new belter pilot said. The storm shifted, pushing gently to the side. The prisoners seemed to float away, though really Bobby was the one moving. Out beyond them, in the darkness, a distant drive plume glowed like a star, and then, passing through a gate, went out. "Okay," she said. "We're good. Make sure we get far enough away before we light up the drive. I don't want to save them just so you can burn them down in the drive plume."
"Sasa," the pilot said.
"Alex," she said, then remembered her suit was still on the low power stealth settings. She changed it and tried again. "Alex, where do we stand?" A different voice answered. A man that it took Bobby a few seconds to recognize.
"We're hugged close to Medina for the extraction."
"Houston?" she said. "Is that you?"
"Now that you fuckers have come to your senses about the immorality of centralized power, yeah, it's me. And I'm ready to accept your apology as soon as you untwist your diapers."
"He's gonna be a joy," Amos said placidly. "I kind of missed him."
Bobby killed her mic.
"I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. I need to know these things."
She turned the mic back on.
"We have a change of plan. We won't need pickup."
"Negative," Alex said. "I'm not leaving you behind."
"We're flying escort," Bobby said. "The storm is ours."
"No shit," Alex said, then whooped.
"Holy crap, you took a prize? Looks like you got yourself a ship after all, Captain Draper."
Naomi's voice cut in, clipping into Alex's last syllables.
"I'm coming out."
"All right," Alex said. "2 to pick up, and then we can get in the flight queue out of this dump."
"1, Naomi said. 1 to pick up. We ran into a problem." Clarissa went down fighting. I wouldn't have made it out without her. None of us would. Bobby's throat went tight. She looked over at Amos, and he smiled his usual amiable smile. Shrugged. Just for a moment, she saw something underneath the expression. Pain and loss and sorrow and rage. And then he was just himself again.
"Damn," Alex said. "I'm sorry to hear that."
"Okay," Houston said. "I have you on the scope. We'll slide over and get you."
"Naomi," Bobby said, "when you get on the Rossi, I'll need you to find a safe place for the storm in the escape queue."
"I'm on it," Naomi said.
Now that Bobby knew to listen, she heard the exhaustion in her voice, the weariness of grief. She turned off her mic, turned toward Amos, but he was pulling himself back toward the lift. She followed him, a little trickle of adrenaline coming in, waiting to see what was coming next. At the lift, Amos stopped and scratched his nose.
"I was thinking, I should probably get a few of the new kids. Go through the ship.
Just make sure we don't have anyone on board we didn't mean to have on the ride.
For a moment, she thought about letting it go, letting Amos fall back into his usual self. It would be easier. It would feel more respectful. It was what Holden would have done.
I need to know if you're okay, she said. I don't really...
She pulled herself in close, almost nose to nose. She wasn't smiling, and he wasn't either. I didn't ask if you wanted to talk. I said I need to know. Whatever ship I'm the captain of, if you're on it, that means you and I have clear, open, and honest conversations about your mental health. This isn't friendship. This isn't nurturing. This is me telling you how it goes. We both know what happens when you're off the rails, and I'm not going to pretend that you're anything more or less than what you are. So when I say I need to know if you're okay, it's an order. Are we clear? Amos's jaw clenched, and his eyes went flat. She didn't back away. When he smiled, it wasn't the empty, amiable expression he usually reached for. It wasn't a version of him she'd seen before.
I'm sad, Babs. I'm angry, but I'm okay. Going down fighting was a good way for her to go, too. I can live with it.
Bobby let herself drift back. Her heart was going a little faster than she liked, but she kept it off her face.
All right, then. Take your team and go through the ship. I'll warn you when we're going on the burn.
I'm on it, Amos said.
And a moment later,
you know, you're going to be good at this captain thing.